Some of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's qualities, he would give them or he would express them for everyone. For example, the Prophet's mercy. The mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not limited to some people. It was for everyone. Whether he knew you, whether he didn't know you, whether you were his friend, whether you were his enemy, whether you were employed by him, whether you were, it doesn't matter. He would show mercy to everybody. But some of the Prophet's qualities were limited to specific groups of people and others were excluded from that. This is part of social intelligence, knowing how to deal with people, is they are not all the same. It is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, from the report of his wife Aisha, "Umirna an nunazzila an-nasa manazilahum." We have been instructed to put everyone in their place. So the elder should be treated like an elder, the youngster like a youngster. The skillful should be different from the skillless, the trustworthy different from the one you can't trust. And so when you imagine the relationships of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I want you to imagine it like a large circle and then a smaller circle inside it and the smallest circle inside it. His inner circle was not the same as the outer circle. The outer circle is, let's say, all the believers. And there's a circle outside that, all human beings, animals, plants, trees. So the ones in the outer circle, every human being he interacts with and every plant and tree and animal he interacts with, he shows all of them mercy. But as you get closer in the inner circle of the Prophet ﷺ, there's some things he will give you that he doesn't give anybody else. Who can tell me what that is? If I give you an example, I say Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman and Ali, for example. What would he give them that he wouldn't give a random guy who just walks in, asks him a question? How would he treat them differently? Okay, he's going to expect more from Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. What else? Okay, he calls them his close friends, so he treats them with more, gives them more time, treats them with more love, etc. Yes, he spends more time with them, suhbah, gives them time with companionship. Okay, he compares himself to Musa and Ali to Harun ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa alayhim as-salam. So he's saying me and Ali is like Musa and Harun, so we're in parallel, we're like brothers, we look after each other. But they say with great power comes great responsibility. So if he's giving them this higher level, this more time, looking after them, spending more time with them, then what's he also going to do with them? He's going to keep them accountable. He's going to admonish them more, warn them more, tell them off, because he can take those liberties because they're in the inner circle. And there's another thing. There's something he will, trust. I was waiting for this, someone to say this. He will trust them with things he would not trust anybody else with. And this is extremely important. And there is an ayah in the Quran, from a story in the Quran, which tells us this principle. You can't trust everyone with all the information. Which ayah in the Quran, which story we learn this from? You can't trust everyone with the same information. I can't tell my secrets to everyone in this room. But why not? Which surah, which story, which ayah tells us you can't tell everyone all your secrets? Yes, Surah Yusuf. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. Abu Yusuf says, alayhi salam, he says, Yaqub alayhi salam says to his son Yusuf, don't tell your dream to your brothers. فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. They're going to plot to take you down. They're going to plan against you. Don't tell your story to your brother. They're his blood brothers, right? They're related to him. They're his family members. But his father's saying, don't tell them. Keep it to yourself. This is saying in Arabic, لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْرَفْ يُقَالْ. Not everything you know should be spread. At the end of Yusuf alayhi salam's life, he's still adhering to this principle. Allah says, فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. Yusuf alayhi salam has something in his mind, but he keeps it to himself. He doesn't share it with his brothers. This is at the end of the story. 50 years, 55 years, he's keeping to this principle. You can't share everything with everyone. You've got to know who to share it with, how much to share. That's a really important part. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicitly says this, اِسْتَعِينُوا عَلَى قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِكُمْ بِالْكِتْمَانِ. If you want to do something, you don't need to tell everyone, I'm planning to lose weight, I'm planning to run the marathon, I'm planning to do this master. Everybody doesn't need to know. Keep it to yourself. Especially if you want to accomplish it, keep it to yourself. Because somebody might feel jealous. Somebody might envy you. Somebody might plan to take you down. Somebody might cause problems. You don't know what's in people's hearts and minds. But from the intelligence of the Prophet ﷺ is knowing who to trust with what. There was one of the Prophet's companions he would trust with his secrets. Who can tell me the name of this companion? Hudhaifa. Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman, also known as Aminu Sirri Rasulullah ﷺ. The person who the Prophet would tell his secrets to. Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman. This man Hudhaifa, throughout his experience with the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ is slowly but surely getting to know him. On the first day he says, Salaamu alaykum, what's your name? Hudhaifa, Hudhaifa, come let me tell you all my secrets. That's not how it works. He gets to know him. He tests him. And one of the biggest tests of Hudhaifa, whether he can trust Hudhaifa or not, was in the Battle of the Trench. The Prophet ﷺ tells Hudhaifa, in the darkness of the night, sneak across the trench into the enemy territory, sit within them, spy what's going on, scout for the information, and bring the intelligence back to me. So Hudhaifa goes, and he's sitting now in the enemy camp. And Abu Sufyan gets up, the leader of the army. He says, everybody be careful, there are spies from the opposition amongst us. Look at the person next to you and check who he is. So Hudhayfa quickly grabs the guy next to him. He goes, who are you? The guy goes, me? I'm Fulan ibn Fulan. He goes, good, be careful. Yeah, there are spies amongst us. Hudhayfa goes, he spreads some information here, information there. Comes back the next morning with the full intelligence and having completely destroyed the plans of the opposition. Prophet ﷺ says, this man, I can trust this man. And a number of events, you get to know people only in these kind of situations. When you travel with them, when you live with them. You can't trust someone too quickly because then you will regret that later on. So the Prophet ﷺ, one day, Allah reveals to the Prophet ﷺ, the names of the hypocrites of Medina. The people who are pretending to be believers, but deep down they were disbelievers. It was just a political Islam. Just wanted to show we're Muslim so they can get safety. So who does the Prophet ﷺ give the list to? Only to Hudhayfa. Not to Abu Bakr. Not to Umar. Not to Uthman. Not to Ali. Only to Hudhayfa. And Umar al-Khattab finds out he has the list, the hit list. So Umar al-Khattab comes running. He says, don't tell me what's on the list, but just tell me one thing. Am I on the list? Allahu Akbar. This was their fear of Allah, is that they never felt safe in their own iman. They always worried, could I be amongst them? Could it be me? Could I be the fake believer? Could Allah expose me? And so they would always have that cautiousness. They would never, you know, be comfortable in who they are and where they're going. That's Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. When the Prophet ﷺ has a marital problem, has an issue in his marriage. Anybody can remember any major issues in the Prophet ﷺ's marriage that tested his marriage? Yes, the slander of Aisha. The rumor that was spreading in Medina that his wife Aisha radiallahu anha had some relations with another man. When this rumor started spreading, now it's spreading in Medina. It's like the talk of town, everybody knows about. The Prophet ﷺ can go and talk to everybody. Hey guys, what do you think? Did she do it? Did she not do it? That's what happens today when there's a scandal. Social media becomes the judge and jury. Everybody's sharing screenshots, evidence, pictures. This one said that. They become the judge and the jury of who did what in the relationship. The Prophet ﷺ, he only consults two people. Ali ibn Abi Talib and not Hudhayfa. Is this person, the second person he consulted, they called him Hibbu Rasulillah ibn Hibbi Rasulillah, the beloved of the Prophet, son of the beloved of the Prophet. Not Abu Bakr. Usama ibn Zayd. Now Usama ibn Zayd was a little boy at this time. And he's a son of Zayd ibn al-Haritha, who was like a son to the Prophet. So the Prophet loves Zayd and he loves his son Usama. So when this whole thing happens, he sits down with Usama and with Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, look, what do you guys think? Do you think Aisha radiallahu anha could have done it? Do you have any evidence? Do you have anything to say that this could be true? He only consults them, doesn't consult everyone. What happens in our days, somebody has a marital problem. They go out with their mates for tea or shawarma, and then all of their friends suddenly become the marriage consultants. Oh, you know, me and my wife going through this problem. Subhanallah, I need a visa to come out of the house these days. Yes, or vice versa. You know, a woman might go out with her friends and suddenly they become the council of marriage therapy. You know, my husband, you know, he's always doing this. What do you think I should do? They say, you know, do this. No, sister, do that. Don't do this. We end up shooting ourselves in the foot by trusting people with information. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell his marital secrets to Ali or Abu Bakr or Uthman or, you know, Afwan, to Abu Bakr, Umar or Uthman. But he selected Ali and Usama for a reason only he knew and only Allah knows. It's really important to keep your secrets, to know who to trust and who not to trust, and how much to trust and who to tell and who not to tell. Not everybody needs to know everything. It's one of the very important parts of the Prophet ﷺ, is he would keep people in their circles. If a random Bedouin came to him and this random Bedouin wants to know a secret from his life secret, he's not going to know it. He's going to keep him on the outside circle. And if somebody on the inside circle he can trust, he will carefully trust them specifically with how much he can trust them. He will test them until he can trust them. He will not trust them straight away. So sometimes we are too trusting. Sometimes we share too much information too widely, you know. And the opposite is people sharing the beauties of their relationship, the marital relationship on social media. Everyone should know that me and my spouse are on honeymoon and on a holiday and, you know, holding hands. And do you know how many people are watching that? What are they thinking? How many are jealous? How many are envious? How many are plotting to take you down? You don't know. So why share? Be careful with what you share. You know, you go to somebody's house, they say, would you like some perfume? You say, why? Do I smell? Why? You don't have to say that, because sometimes maybe you do smell and they're doing you a favor by not embarrassing you. Sometimes you come, you speak to somebody with bad breath and they offer you a chewing gum. You take the chewing gum, but look, when somebody's giving you in a subtle way, in a gentle way, in a roundabout way, except this was the manner of the Prophet. He would never confront people with their flaws. He would go in a sideways, in a roundabout way through somebody who they'll take it from in a way that it would actually, they would appreciate it and they would improve. This was the haya of the Prophet in his social dealings. And so if the Prophet ﷺ was forced to speak about somebody's problem or flaw or mistake, he would try to give a general reminder, or he would try to hint without, you know, making it obvious to the person. Try to hint at it, go in a roundabout manner. As they say, إِنَّ اللَّبِيبَ بِالْإِشَارَةِ يَفْهَمُ. A smart person will get the hint. You don't have to spell it out to them. So one time the Prophet ﷺ says, you know, if you eat garlic, مَنْ أَكَلَ ثُومًا, whoever eats garlic or something, just don't come to the masjid. There was a specific person he was referring referring to who had that day happened to come to the masjid and decided to make the whole row faint. But he said, please, you know, if you're going to do that, brush, do miswak before you come. You don't need to harm everybody. You know the famous hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat, actions are by their intentions. Everybody knows this hadith. He was referring to a very specific person, who wanted to migrate from Mecca to Medina because he wanted to marry someone. So all these companions of the Prophet are leaving their wealth and their families and bleeding, getting beatings to migrate. And this guy, he's got some lady in his mind and he just wants to go marry her. So the Prophet ﷺ, he has two options. He can go to this guy, he said, listen, Habibi, if you migrate just for a lady, you're not going to get any reward from Allah. How does that feel? Or give a general reminder, look, everybody, actions are judged by their intentions. So if you're going for Allah, you'll get Allah's reward. If you're going for a lady, you'll just get the lady. And the guy will understand without having to be struck by an arrow of sincere advice. So when he joked with his companions, when he laughed, when he corrected their mistakes, when he did things, he didn't want people to know. One time the Prophet ﷺ is walking with his wife Hafsa radiallahu anha, and two men are walking in the night and they happen to see him with his wife Hafsa, and they see them and they start walking faster. Now one of two things could be running through their mind. They're seeing the Prophet ﷺ with a woman who's covered. Either they're thinking, we don't know who this woman is hanging out with the Prophet ﷺ, and they're going to go and spread some stories. Or the Prophet ﷺ is now aware, he has that sense of shame, people are watching him. He says, "Ala rislikuma, stop guys, why are you in a rush? It's my wife, I'm just with my wife. Nothing's happening here, don't worry, I'm just with my wife." They said, "Subhanallah, Prophet of Allah, you didn't have to tell us that, we trust you." Then he says, "Inna shaytana la yajri fi dam ibn Adam majra dam." Shaytan flows in your veins, my friends. I trust you guys, I don't trust the shaytan. The moment you start walking, he'll start whispering to you, "Who's that lady with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" This was his shyness, sense of shame, that even if he was his wife, he would clarify, "Listen, it's my wife. Don't go, don't worry, don't go anywhere and spread anything. This is my wife." Part of that shame is that he would avoid suspicious places. He would avoid being in suspicious places where people might think, huh, what's he doing there? So somebody from your work invites you to the pub. Come, just drink lemonade. Just come, just socialize. You know, you'll never get promoted if you don't come to the pub after work. That's where all the real conversations happen. All the promotions are decided. You think, okay, let me go. I just have apple juice. You're sitting there, having the apple juice. What happens if your mum walks by? How would you feel? And she sees you sitting there with what looks like apple juice, but what's really, nobody knows what's really in the glass. How would you feel? When you get home, how many slippers would you get? Allah knows. Yes, you wouldn't do it if your mom was watching you, but Allah was watching you. You're in a place of suspicion, a place where, you know, as they say, hanky panky occurs. Why would you be there? As someone says, come to the shisha bar. I sit in the shisha bar, but I don't smoke shisha. Yes, and all the smoke, what is it doing? You have some kind of seal, it's not going into your system. You're sitting there, all this funky smelling smoke is all, people are smoking all around you in every direction. And what comes with smoking is a lot of other fahsha in the way you speak and the things you discuss, etc. You're sat there, you're thinking, I'm not smoking, but why? The Prophet ﷺ would say, "Itaqi mawatin at-tuham." Avoid being in suspicious environments.